Buzz.
When you hear a lot of people talking at the same time, it kind of has a similar sound to a freaking beehive. Or maybe that's a metaphor I'm trying to make work. We write songs for a living, but I don't think this one works. He just rhymed work with work.
Yes, he did. That lazy guy.
Oh, just shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to The Hive.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Hive Podcast. This is Eric Jones, the Asian persuasion.
Keep going.
That's all I got. I was about to say Malaysian. I was going to say Malaysian, but that's inaccurate.
This is Josh Clifton.
This is Johnny Gore.
God, this is the worst opening ever.
Dude, that reminds me of a Flight of the Conchords where he's like, I'm hip-hop-opotamus. My lyrics are bottomless. And he just kind
of and then he stops.
They go to a dance break.
How you guys been?
Been all right, man.
Eric and I are dying, apparently. I've got allergies, and he's coughing up a lung. So,
dude, I've got allergies too, man. My freaking throat. It's been going from like the right side all the way down hurting, and then the left, and it'll start to get better on the left, and then it goes back to the right. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I can tell you, though, that I haven't been sneezing too bad.
Okay, well, I didn't have allergies my entire life until I moved to Texas.
Yeah,
I will say I haven't had allergies my whole life until this year.
Yeah,
this year's been rough. The past decade.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, and I'm sorry, but it annoys me that like maybe once every couple weeks I start getting sniffly, and I don't know how people live like this.
It's miserable.
There are people dealing with very serious health problems every day, every second of their life, and I'm upset about the fact that like I get a little, I have to take a Zyrtec every 2 weeks.
Dude, Zyrtecs are expensive.
They are expensive. Yeah,
it's just though, man. Like, you know, that's all you know. That's all you know. So it's the word. I think about that stuff all the time. I think about like a little kid, man. Just a little kid getting told he doesn't get to go to Six Flags with his sister and all the friends in the youth group.
Personal story, I think.
And then, it's exactly a personal story.
Yeah. Or you get left at home when your family goes out of town for Christmas.
I can tell this story, Eric, or I cannot.
Man, Johnny coming in with some hot
animosity. I just left the studio, so I'm used to having that power over the kids.
Yeah.
My students.
Treat us. Paint me like one of your French girls.
Yeah. Or you end up getting on the wrong plane. You end up in New York. Your family's in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family's in Florida.
The height of luxury
in New York
is getting a limo with cheese pizza in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Or you get to go to the biggest toy store ever.
I want
Duncan's Toy Chest.
Dude.
I kind of want Chipotle, too.
At 12 o'clock tonight.
We're going to hit Duncan's Toy Chest. Five floors of cash.
God, I love that movie.
Dude, I forgot the quote, but I'm so glad you did it.
I saw that movie way too much. You guys want to know a funny story? My parents took me to see that.
Oh, my Lord.
It hurts.
My parents took me to see that movie in theaters several times, at least three. And my mom told me that one of the last times they took me to go see it, you know the part, right, when he goes, when they're like, how you doing, pal? And then he screams. My mom said she looked over at me during that part, and it's a full theater. And she said that scene came up, and I put my hands on my cheeks, and she was like, "Oh, he's gonna imitate it." And then I just full volume went. I just screamed top of the lungs. She said the theater jumped, and then they all laughed. Then once everyone in the theater was laughing, me being little, I looked at my mom and was like, "Why is everyone laughing at me?"
Oh, because you're killing it, kid. God, that movie's great. Just to get on some type of track, because I could sit there and talk about movies, and I know...
That's smart.
I know, and I'm trying...
We've got a space for that.
Right, right.
Movie Brothers Podcast, shout out.
That's right. You guys should listen to Movie Brothers Podcast anywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah, you can find it on Google Podcasts. You can find it on...
Keep going.
Keep going. But Josh took it all off Spotify, so don't listen to it.
Yeah,
then.
No, it's still on there. I mean, we're using Anchor.
I'm just kidding.
And they bought it. This past week, we had a show in Denton. And it was kind of a quick makeshift show that we that, I mean, I got to give credit to Kalen. He was the one that spearheaded that and saw an opportunity, did a good, had a good idea, ran with it. I love it when people do that. And felt like he needed to make something, and he put Honey Gold Presents Night, and it was at the Bearded Monk, and it had Fever Youth, which is Kalen's old band, and with the original lineup, and then it had a Red Arrow, just Ross solo stuff, and then it had Raven Hill, and then it had Words, and it was a successful night. It was fun.
So fun.
There's a
so
dog fun. With eyebrows.
Yeah,
red eyebrows.
He was really excited to be there. And yeah. or he was intimidating.
Dude, Jordan Landers is so funny. I went up to him. I hadn't seen him forever. We hugged. We said hi. We talked for a minute. And I said, dude, there's a dog with eyelashes over there. Have you seen that? And he goes, all dogs have eyelashes, but there's one with eyebrows over there.
He was a matter of fact.
It didn't matter to him at all, but yeah. He did correct me.
Well, he is living in the L.A. area, I mean, where all dogs have eyebrows.
Yeah, he's probably seen dog do stand-up out there.
Yeah. What would be a dog stand-up name? Come on. There's something good there. Let's see.
What are you talking about?
Dead to the bone.
Oh, what would a dog stand-up be?
Is that his name? Speaking of stand-up, an acquaintance of mine just dropped a Netflix stand-up. Called The Tennessee Kid. It's Nate Bargatze. You guys need to go check
it out. Not only that, dude, he just got a killer shout out. I'm listening to Luis J. Gomez interview on Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, Luis J. Gomez is his best friend.
Yeah, he talked up Nick real hard on there. And he talked up Nate real good on there. And what was awesome was Joe Rogan was like, who? And he was like, let me write that down. So I'm hoping he reaches out.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned him a couple times on here. He's very much a long acquaintance. I hung out with him maybe a couple times in Nashville because I surrounded myself with the comedian, like at Zany's and stuff like that. And he would hang out with other comedians and a buddy of mine, Micah Dean. So I was in the same room and hanging out with them, but like, I don't know. And we became friends on Facebook, but that was like it. I don't want to act like he's like my best bud or anything.
But it's still cool, man.
But it is cool because I saw him whenever he was coming up, and he had just did his like first like late night thing whenever I met him. And I was like, oh, this guy might be pretty funny. And Micah Dean, credit to him, he was like, this guy's the funniest guy in Nashville. You should listen to him. So he gave me and Megan, he knew that Nate was going to pop in at Zany's and do his 5 minutes that he was about to do on the next, like the Tonight Show or something. Mm-hmm. And he goes, hey, you should come here tonight. I'll give you free tickets. And we showed up. He'd do that all the time, like to if he knew someone cool was coming in and stuff like that. And it was like a cool date night for me and Megan. But I like watching him workshop stuff and everything and going like next week he's going on the Tonight Show to like do this bit. Mm-hmm. And like it was awesome. So it's cool to see him being a Nashville boy, like coming up and really killing it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. They were talking about how smart he is of living in Nashville instead of LA and New York.
Yeah.
And they were like, just be away from everything, go out, do your thing, and then go back home.
That's how, whenever it came time when we were in Southern Illinois, it was like, oh, Megan and I were like, okay, we're going to try this music thing. Where should we go? New York, LA, Nashville, Chicago. Like, where should we go? And I thought Nashville felt like a good place to raise a family and be from to go out. It's in the middle.
Yeah, it's a good tour central location.
Yeah, because if I was going to do the teardrop or the flower petal type tours where I go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come home, and be home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and sometimes Thursday. It made sense. I could make a living doing that instead of being in LA. And I could do that to an extent, but like there's only so much diversity you can hit up in there. And in Nashville, I could hit so many things are like 10, 15 hours away. Mm-hmm. And you could do that in a weekend and go in multiple different directions and do that twice a month. And that's how Raven Hill kind of made their presence on the Midwest. So.
Hell is empty, 'cause all the devils are here. I feel just like a ghost.
go watch The Tennessee Kid. I watched the first like 15, 20 minutes of it, had to stop because I was laughing and Megan was asleep and I kept waking her up. Did you watch the whole thing?
I haven't had a chance. We'll probably try tonight, actually.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, for those of you who care, he's hilarious and, like, it's clean. And that's what's crazy. Aww. Is, like, it's actually, you feel like it should.
If funny's funny. Doesn't matter. I was just being silly.
I promise you it's hilarious. I saw him workshop this in Addison here. He came to the improv, and I took my mom and brother, and Brady went. I didn't take Brady, but, and it was fun. It was a blast.
Yeah. I think it's a, I think someone who can create clean stand-up, you got to be incredibly clever.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Papa, he's pretty squeaky clean, and he's Bill freaking Burr.
Same
hilarious.
For Seinfeld. Bill Burr, yeah, you're right. Seinfeld, he's considered one of the greats.
Yeah.
And he, I think he said, I mean, he never really cussed. In this
Bill thing. Cosby, before all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it. Yeah, totally, 100%. His stand-up killed.
Bill Cosby as himself.
Oh, that was killer, that man. One is the one that's like ingrained in my childhood. Like that's what makes all this really crappy, is because we, I mean, like so many of my friends and I would, I mean, like obviously that special had to have been taped in like the 80s, right? Was it? Or maybe 70s?
Maybe older. I think I have it on vinyl. I haven't gone looking for it since the news came out because I'm gonna have this moral dilemma of do I get rid of this or keep it?
Yeah. So I you just, have it on vinyl.
I'm pretty
if
sure.
If you get rid of it, I'll
I just
take
don't
want to
look
you.
At it.
If you do want to get rid of it, I'll take it from you.
Yeah, if Josh's compass says he'd be willing to keep it, it's probably fine.
I mean, I hate what he did. Doesn't make him not funny. I don't want to promote it, but that stand-up was, let's see, Bill Cosby as himself. I'm going to look up what year that is.
Someone PSA, talk. Don't roofie people, everyone. Play clean.
Yeah, it's weird that we have to even say it.
All right, you guys want me to talk for a second because I got some.
1983. Yeah, so it was before our time as to really understand, but like in the 90s, I was listening to that with all my.
Well,
friends.
You were like 16 in 83, weren't
totally.
You?
Totally, yeah. No, like in the 90s when I was in high school, we were listening to that. So, yeah, tell a story.
All right, so Dr. Drew has a podcast now. It's called Dr. Drew After Dark or something silly like that.
Okay.
Haley's gotten into it. She really likes it. Anyways, he had some other doctor on her most recent podcast, and they were talking about all the crazy stuff that she sees being a doctor, and I think she works in the emergency room or whatever.
Proctologist?
I don't know. But he asked her, what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to pull out of someone? You know, because people stick stuff in their body all the time.
Yeah.
She said, actually, a few weeks ago, she pulled a AA battery out of a guy's penis. Can you imagine?
God, I want to tell a story.
So wait, before you tell that story, let me get onto this. So then they start talking about something, a whole subject matter that Haley comes home and she goes, Johnny, I want you to Google the word sounding and read the Urban Dictionary on it. And I was like, okay. So I Googled the word sounding and I'm going to read this to you guys.
Okay.
The practice of inserting plastic or metal sounds, long, thin, and very smooth objects into yours or someone else's urethra. Ultimately leads to stretching of the urethra so that larger objects, such as a finger, can be inserted in the penis. And then I had to hit Google Images.
You
I really
did
didn't want to,
you did it.
But I did it. Thank goodness, you know what made it better is it's not what you'd think. It just shows a lot of all the different tools that you can buy to start the practice of sounding.
Sounding?
Yeah, what a weird name, right? Oh, shoot, I actually opened one. Let's see.
And now
oh
you're
God,
get
Alexis,
so many great ads.
Alexis added it to my shopping cart. Oh, yeah. It'll be here tomorrow. Free
got
one
a
day
killer
shipping.
Deal.
It was on Groupon.
Technically, couldn't you just get like ear gauging kits?
Dude, what couldn't there be know. A different name than sounding?
I dread getting older and needing a freaking catheter. Mm-hmm. So like this whole subject, when Haley told me, I was like, I felt bad in my stomach for at least an hour.
I'm gonna. Why is it doing that?
You just can't touch it. It's the cables.
I'm gonna tell this story. It's about someone famous and I'll tell you guys later off air.
Yeah.
But I can't tell this. there is a rumor in the Christian music scene about a guy, and most people will, if they know, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Especially, they already know who I'm going to based on this story. But there's a rumor that a Christian, someone at the top, can put a Sharpie into his pee hole, and he would do it and write with it. And he did it on tour. And so much that we have a big Sharpie at Raven Hill's merch table in the tote that we call by the name of this guy.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so every time we're on a festival or something, that guy's there. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, like, it's only a matter of time till this guy hears that we called this Sharpie this. At like, hey, hand me. I almost want to say it, but
don't
I'm not
say
going
it.
To.
We'll just call it Mick. Hand me the Mick, you know?
Yeah. I'll be like, Mick McMasterson. Like, yeah. Oh, hey, hand me Mick McMasterson over there. And then we sign. Like, oh, why do you call it that? And I was like, ah, no, just
don't worry
just
about it. That's funny.
No big deal.
Dude, I had a friend who got kicked out of his band. He was a drummer, and he was great, but he got kicked out of his band because he kept pulling his penis out and hitting the drums with it. And they were asking him to stop, but he thought it was too funny.
Yeah, I get it. More power to that guy.
He did
guy.
It until he got kicked out of a band.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, hey, do it again. And you seriously get kicked out of the band. He's like, I can't,
guys, this
I
is
can't
the height
not.
Of the set.
Yeah, it was like,
they're at a show. He's like, everyone's my farewell
you're
show.
You're stifling me.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Dude,
this same guy.
Doing blast beats?
This same guy. I was on a road trip with him and a bunch of friends. And we were driving. It was Texas. It was summer, and we were going down the highway in the middle of nowhere, going towards Padre Island. And you know, when it's hot outside and you look really far out on the road, you can see the mirage of water, right?
Yeah.
And so my buddy, the same guy with who hit drums with his penis, he's sitting next to me, and he goes, "Dude, look at that water out there. We don't catch up to it." And I was like, "That's
no.
I said, "Dude, that's a mirage." And he goes, "Nuh-uh." Yeah, that's where we were all 18, 19.
God blessed him in other ways.
Dude, he was so funny. Another time on a road trip, I think he was our merch guy for one of my old bands, and we were going to Austin or something. And we had been putting all our trash in a little grocery bag throughout the trip. And then somebody was like, "At the next gas station, let's throw this away." And he was like, "I got it." He grabbed the whole bag, rolled the window down, and just threw it out the window on the highway.
Oh, no. And Brady showed up crying?
No. No.
We're Native American. That's why I said that.
No, oh, but
a single tear.
He threw it out the window, and we were all like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And he goes, "Come on, guys, trust God."
Oh my
and my
God.
Buddy, Zach goes, "I don't think that's how that works."
Yeah. That guy's dead now.
No, he's alive and well, and he's still hilarious and a little bit off, but I love him.
Eric, you had something you wanted to share, right? But real quick, can you guys look at my facial hair? This is very much. Do you see anything weird with my facial hair right now?
The right side of your mustache?
Huh?
The right side of your mustache?
What's the right side? What's wrong with the right side of my mustache?
Nothing. You just touched it when you said you see anything weird, so I was using a context clue.
I was shaping it.
Oh, got it.
Nothing?
It looked better last week, but.
Yeah.
No. You're growing the bottom out longer, right? It's coming out down
here?
Well,
yeah, I did that, but it's good that you don't see it from here. I know up close you'll see it when I mention it. Despite.
I thought you were using a word I didn't know yet.
Yeah. Despite, maybe I am. Genetically, I don't know why, but the Hitler part of the mustache grows thicker on me than the rest of my mustache.
We should trade because mine grows thinner in there.
Yeah, really? My middle area doesn't grow.
I just trimmed it. I trimmed it a little too thin.
You think?
I think. But I was like, I think most people won't notice.
No, I don't notice.
See, from a distance. Now, if you get close, you'll notice how this is real long on the sides. Got it. This is real cut. But in a couple days, it won't matter.
Yeah. I naturally grow a Fu Manchu.
Do you really?
Naturally? It doesn't. Like, I have to shave, trim my beard like 4 times before this becomes a unit.
I'm alluding to my upper stature. I am the epitome of what Hitler may not have liked. And my facial hair loves.
Could resemble him?
Could resemble that in every which way. I mean, whenever Raven Hill was doing shots for Soul promo shots, that they had to add facial hair around my mustache because it was just growing too thick here, that from a distance in a black and white photo, it looked like I had a Hitler stash.
Hey, how long do you think the Hitler mustache could be hip again?
Why did he ruin that as a thing?
Because people are afraid of his name.
It sucks. It sucks that he took over. I mean, I'm not saying I'd want it.
Oh, yeah, it looks ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's like rainbows,
but a lot of things,
man,
nowadays look ridiculous, and for some reason it's like happening.
You can't be straight and like rainbows without people giving you a hard time.
That's that Dimitri Martin joke.
It's still a point, yeah.
Yeah, he goes...
Thanks for stealing the refractive light.
He's like, I want a shirt with a rainbow on it, but I'm not gay, but I also am not homophobic, so I want to put, but supportive. I just think it's a bummer that a group took refracted light.
Refracted light as their logo. He's like, that's pretty greedy, Gaze.
Pretty greedy, Gaze. So I was going to ask you that if you could see it from...
No, it looks great.
If you noticed.
Istanbul, even old New York, was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. You just liked it better that way. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Can I tell you guys one more thing? Then Eric can share whatever he wants to share, because mine's not important, but I have to talk to you guys about it.
I just gotta tell you guys about this.
Have you guys heard of this college basketball player named Taco Fall?
No.
Google him right now. Taco Fall. Exactly how it spells or sounds, I think.
Is he the guy that had the battery in his boohoo?
No. Just Google image him real quick, and then I got to tell you guys a little bit of my thoughts on it. So I don't know if he's good or not. I don't keep up with college basketball well enough. But he did pop up on my Twitter because I follow a sideline reporter. Tracy Wolfson.
It is not spelled like you would.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I've been trying to find it to tell you how it's spelled, but I lost it.
Add a K in between the C and an O and a taco.
I had it saved in my phone. Where'd it go?
Taco Fall.
There it is. So the dude is 7'6" and his shoe size is 22.
That'll do it.
And look up a picture of him and Tracy Wolfson.
Okay.
Just Google Taco Fall and Tracy Wolfson, real quick.
Is Tracy, does he have dreads?
Look at this picture. Look at the difference between them two.
Yeah, how tall is Tracy Wolfson?
She's 5'2". So she's shorter, but not much shorter than me. And then look at this giant.
Yeah, he's 7'6", you said?
7'6". His shoe size is 22.
George Mirison was 7'7".
But dude, I was just looking at this picture and I was thinking,
I can't see from here. It's just a taco.
Yeah. This him?
No. This is him, Eric.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
But yeah, so basically, I was looking at this and I just couldn't get over it. The difference. I was like, that would be amazing to meet this guy in person. And then I started thinking, like, man, life is a lot more like Middle Earth and stuff than we think. Like, we've got these like special, humans.
We've got giants.
Yeah, man. I was telling Haley, I was like, literally meeting him would feel like meeting a mythical character.
Right.
You'd be like, remember that one time we saw that guy? It's amazing, dude.
How tall is Greg Oden? Can you look that up real quick while I tell?
Yeah. Greg Oden.
As in like the Greek god.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do.
I met him one time, and it was whenever I was on that Tooth and Nail tour, and we were at in Columbus, and he was about to get drafted. He was in Buckeye, Ohio State, and
he's a year older than me.
Yeah. And he walked in, and I was like, oh, that's a tall drink of water right there. But I mean, he's probably what, like,
he's 7 foot.
That was 7 foot. That's a foot taller than I am.
Yeah.
And that was like, ah, oh, that guy's, and his wingspan was like,
I thought you were going to say he was a wiener.
And his wiener, man, he could put a Sharpie in it.
Oh my gosh, dude. Probably like a small baseball bat, like a wiffle bat.
All right, Eric, we're getting into bad territory.
Oh, we're getting into good territory.
All right. So, update from last episode. Apple Music has been... I've only had 2 hiccups in the past week with my Samsung.
Yeah.
And so, which is day and night difference than what I had my iPhone 10 with the... Which is really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
That, but I'm having a good experience
with
it.
But you're still on the same network on AT&T?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
You said that I asked why, because in our group text, we can't do group text anymore because you have a Samsung phone. You're the only person that doesn't have an Apple now.
Yeah.
And it's caused a hiccup in our communication. And I asked you why you're screwing everything up. And you said, you're trying to get out of the Apple universe in a sense.
Yeah, the ecosystem.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
I think you just get new stuff sometimes, if I'm being honest.
Hey, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a dopamine release there that you kind of go, ooh, something new. Let's tinker. You like to tinker with things, which is great because that's why you know how to use a lot of things.
You're a tinkler also.
So I got a Samsung.
Did you hear the compliments we were giving you? You were kind of coughing during all that.
It's okay. You'll just listen.
I heard tinker, and I just figured you're making fun of the fact I'm Asian.
No. No. I said you like to tinker with things, which is why you're good with a lot of tools and things. But
that's very kind.
And then Josh said something else nice. I forget.
Mine was nice. I said you're a tinkler also.
Tinkler?
Oh. You tinkle sometimes.
I don't know why I felt like we were trying
usually
to,
like 4 seconds after I'm done peeing, I tinkle.
Tinkle a little bit. The teaspoon? Go ahead.
Yeah. So... I got an Android like 2 years ago, and I ended up hating it. But I, at the time, I had a MacBook Pro, had an iPad, just got rid of an iMac, and so like everything I had was Apple. And since then, I now have a PC.
That's true.
That I genuinely like in almost every way over anything Apple I've used in the past.
Interesting. So the computer itself has made you think, oh, then I don't need to be... See... Anytime I've ever used an Android device, I've never had it's never been easy. It's been it's usually bogged down with a bunch of randomness and it's not easy to use.
Yeah. And so I treat it the same way I treat a PC, or I even treat my iPhone when I had it, because Apple gives you a bunch of apps I don't want. And so the first thing I ever do when I ever get a new phone is I remove everything I don't want off of it.
Yeah.
And then I set all the parameters of it the way I want it. And you can actually do a lot more with an Android as far as setting those parameters. But I'm just trying something new. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's great.
I hear people
do this all the time. They're trying different phones and like they'll be like, oh, I'm trying the Galaxy Note. My thing is, it takes me so long to learn how to use any of this stuff is that once I get it and I get it figured out, I just stay with it, which is why I don't like to update when the updates come out. It's like this just started making sense to me.
Yeah.
So the thought of switching over is just horrifying.
Yeah, Apple.
But that Galaxy Note with the little pin that you could like write on.
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
I just don't see me leaving Apple.
Yeah. And that's fine. I think iPhones are fantastic. I'm not knocking a single thing about the iPhone.
You're just having a better time with Android right now.
It is funny though that Apple Music works better on an Android.
On mine.
For you.
For my experience.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that it was not working well on on both of your other phones.
Just give it a couple months of Pornhub and then it'll slip.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. We can edit that.
No,
out,
man.
I don't care.
I don't actually tomfoolery on devices that I'm afraid are watching you. Not watching me, but can be affected by it negatively.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah. Oh, that's anything. Like on my computer, it. I won't go on, like, say there's a site I'm fine with going through. It doesn't have to be porn. It could be anything simple, like something as simple as, like, say, I want to buy something from this website, but I know they have a lot of potential. Like, every time I would go on it on my computer, my malware thing's like, hey, this site's going to really mess your computer up. I won't go on it. I feel, you know, if anything like that happens, I don't do it because my PC is like a kid that hasn't been vaccinated.
Got it.
Like, there's more viruses for it. There's a lot of issues for it. And, like, you can really mess up
your
PC.
You're saying I should vaccinate my kids?
Do you use Norton antivirus?
No, I use ESBT, some weird thing like that.
All right. Don't tell me
anymore
about it because I don't
But
care.
I'll say this. Windows 10 is tremendously better than any Windows I've had in the past. Like, When I got into Apple stuff back in 08, Apple was superior, period. And it was like
I've never
that.
Had a single virus on my since I switched to Apple.
Yeah, because no one makes very few people make Apple viruses for that versus PC because if you go to a work environment,
questionable sites too,
PCs are cheaper to put across the entire work.
And so people making viruses want to crash like a whole company's worth of computers, right?
Yeah, and get information and steal stuff. So PC is more accessible to those people, much like your child without a vaccination.
Mm. way to make a political stance.
That means
is that a political stance at this point?
I think it is, but...
Well, I think it's more of like a health stance. The same way I could listen to myself and say, hey, Eric, you shouldn't eat McDonald's.
No, you can eat McDonald's, just moderation.
Yeah, but moderation's the issue.
Yeah, I know. Dude, especially when you can leave.
You can't
like,
eat. You're saying, Eric, don't have McDonald's for the fifth time this week.
Yes.
It's just hard when you can spend $3.01 and get three different things.
Yeah. But essentially, though, if you're just smart with your stuff, and so Android and, you know, PC, essentially, there's more crap that could happen to them. And so I'd be consciously intelligent about what I do with it.
Yeah.
I don't like other people using my computer. And like, and that's it's so weird. But I don't like Lily using my computer, and it's it's because like I don't know.
Eric,
where she's...
there's a Saudi Arabian prince who wants to give us money.
No, she's not. No, not
I
that.
I just emailed him our money order.
Yeah, not that.
It's like our bank statement on it.
Yeah, no, but...
all our dreams.
I basically, like, I go to, like, five websites. Sweetwater, my banks, downloading new plugins that I bought off Sweetwater, and Avid's website to get updates on Pro Tools.
Video game website, too, right?
Steam.
Steam, yeah.
But that's on there.
I've been there.
Yeah. And so, but I don't venture out because this computer is my workstation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so... this thing because I've had PCs in the past where in a year it's ruined and it just even a system restart like back to factory it just does not perform well which is when I changed the Apple back in 08 I was like oh snap I've had this computer for 3 years and I got a laptop in 2011 and I had that thing until like a year and a half ago and I've never had that experience with a PC.
Do you have a theme song for the Nerd Corner?
For the Nerd Corner, I'm not gonna try to write one off the cuff, but I'll make one.
You write some of the best stuff off the top of your head, though. By the way, you would have heard this already because I'll post it before this one. But I did an interview with some people. One of them about the Spotify stuff. One of them asked if we could put the Hive theme song on Spotify or a streaming service. I was like, oh, totally, we'll do that.
Let's say 30 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to learn how to make jingles like 10 seconds. That's the trick.
No, that one was great, though.
Pop culture, you shouldn't care, but you do. Boom. I feel like Nerd Corner needs to be like, you talk about Nerd Corner, but then you explain just like 90 degree angles and you get all math about it.
It's like the perfect angle. But I will say this, moving to Android, the one thing I miss, and it's the only thing, iMessage.
Yeah.
I wish Apple, like, because they put iTunes on this, they put, you know, you could get iCloud for it, you could do all that stuff, but you can't do iMessage? You can't make that an app?
Hey, can any of you guys explain to me why my phone doesn't have a hotspot anymore?
It's probably just moved.
If I go to use my hotspot, because I have to sometimes in Sherman because my internet's so slow.
Yeah.
And, if I go to it, it says, go talk to your AT&T provider to add this. It's like
you have unlimited data now?
Did they take it away because I have unlimited data?
Yeah.
What a bunch of bullies.
No, I got it.
I don't think I have unlimited data, though.
I do. But you have Verizon?
AT&T.
No, AT&T.
Oh, that's why.
So I think it's AT&T, some AT&T thing.
Because basically you have to pay for, like, you have to get back to where you're paying for a certain amount of memory. Because then they can monetize it.
I thought it was just an update that auto did something. And
no, that's because I remember when we didn't have my family didn't have unlimited data. I could use a hotspot, but the second we did, I was like, sweet hotspot, and it's like must contact AT&T around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird voice to use there.
Yeah. That same spot, hit it. She the one that bring them raindrops. We go back, remember crisscross and hopscotch. You the one that hold me down when the block's hot. I make your dreams come true when you wake up. And your looks just the same without no makeup. Had to pull up on your mama, see what you made of. Ain't got a word about them comers, cause my cake up. You can ride inside my life on that fame bus. Cause I promise when we step out, you'll be famous. Modern day Bunny and Clyde, what they named us. Cause when we pull up, all angles. Yeah, you're looking at the truth, the money never lie. No, I'm the one, yeah, I'm the one. Morning in the dawn, know you wanna ride now. I'm the one, yeah, I'm the one, yeah. Hear you sick of all those other imitators. Don't let the only real one intimidate ya. See you watching, don't run out of time now.
Hear that Justin Bieber did something.
I'm glad you brought this up because he apparently offended and hurt a lot of people by on April Fool's pretending that his wife was pregnant.
And people were upset about it?
Yeah. They were wanting him to make an apology. Can you explain earlier to me how pretending that your wife's pregnant on April Fool's
is insensitive? Okay, here, I'm going to read this little bit here real quick. Justin Bieber issues apology for insensitive? April Fool's prank. Earlier in the week, the singer posted several pictures hinting that he is expecting his first child with wife Hailey Bieber. He received backlash after he revealed the posts were an April Fool's Day prank, and with some saying it was insensitive to those struggling to conceive. Aww. Bieber has since issued an apology for the joke, saying, "I didn't mean it to be insensitive."
How is it? Sorry, I'm already hot.
Yeah, this is...
How is it insensitive?
I think because one of two things. One, there could be that person who's like, oh, awesome, good job. I've been trying to have a kid for 3 years and I'm still struggling. That person can be bummed. And I think right now people are overly sensitive about everything. And so that emotionally, in a real valid way, does trigger and hurt that person just because of the culture that we've created now.
What about hearing about baby showers or seeing baby commercials or hearing people who really get pregnant?
Does
that hurt their feelings too?
I think
it's like,
does.
At what point can we not be allowed to be alive also?
Yeah, no, it's that. And then the other thing, which I think makes up about 95% of it, is virtue signaling and feeling really good and being a really awesome dude on Facebook.
This guy named
or dudette.
John Palovitz.
I was thinking today, Eric, actually, about how my son is eventually going to be older and use the word dude, and that's going to be wild to watch.
Dude, like, you can teach him to say dude pretty early.
He said, did Justin Bieber just make a classical ignorant April Fool's joke of a fake pregnancy? All the people struggling to conceive children and who have lived with miscarriages probably don't find it funny. Better do some more work with your pastor.
That this, dude so got laid.
So let me tell you something. My wife and I have had a miscarriage. I don't find that offensive. Like,
you're reasonable. That's the difference.
And that miscarriage is one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life.
I couldn't imagine.
Like, it sucked. It was right after, it was in between London and Judah. And that whole process, as a father, as someone, that Megan has told me, you know, I believe that there are many different roles in a marriage. And just because I'm the man doesn't mean I'm the head of the household or the leader per se. We're a good team, me and Megan. But Megan has made it clear that she likes it when I lead. So that's dynamic in our relationship. And so I'm saying all that because I don't want to come across as a male chauvinistic or whatever. But all that to say, as the protector she's asked me to be, when her body was going through that thing, going through that issue, and I could do nothing but be there and be supportive and love on her and hold her hand while some of the most horrific things I've ever experienced emotionally and physically happened. I felt powerless. Mm-hmm. And it sucked. It sucked, and I wept, and I had to be strong for her and stuff. I can't imagine how it would have felt if we had not already had a child and thought this we'll never have a child. But that being said, we were 10 weeks pregnant whenever we found out, you know. And if one of you guys made that joke, I don't understand people automatically making it about them.
That's what it is. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it's so inward focused, obviously.
Yeah.
That like another human who's alive can like try to be silly, and then you have to somehow find, now where in this are my feelings hurt?
I hate that he issued an apology.
I think it was really sarcastic and not very nice.
Okay. Because to me, I would go.
Or it wasn't really sincere is what I heard.
So, I wish I had a better example. I just saw that right before we walked in. I was like, I'll bring this up.
I'm glad you did, because it's Wednesday, so I drove into town with Haley, so we listened to Kid Craddock in the morning. Uh-huh. And they were talking about it, and I was kind of falling asleep in the car. I got home real late last night and couldn't go to sleep. And I got like 3 hours of sleep, so Haley drove this morning. But I was wishing I was more awake so I could start venting to Haley, because I was like, how is this?
That's annoying, man. Like, the idea that, like, he can't even make a joke. He clearly wasn't saying, we had a miscarriage. Or he wasn't making that joke.
If the miscarriage was the joke.
Right.
That I could see maybe being insensitive.
But, like, you know, people joke around about being pregnant all the time. I've seen that.
It's an April Fool's Day joke.
It's a dumb joke. Don't get me wrong. It's not funny. But the fact that people got that up in arms about it, I mean, that's stupid.
Pro Tools expert put out a blog on April Fool's Day, and it's like, and they went to the end of the world for it. They actually created like a fake looking plugin, and like graphiced it out, showed it like an image of it being used like in the session,
yeah.
And it was like the bad cable corrector. This actually uses algorithms to correct any issues created by having a bad cable in your...
Yes.
And a lot of people are like, oh, dude, who's it by? Like, and they're asking, and then a lot of people are like, this is so fake. Oh, my God, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's April Fool's.
Yeah.
This has been happening since any of us using the internet were alive.
Dude, how many people do you think were like, man, I can't wait till April Fool's, and I'm going to get pissed off at so many people?
Yeah.
Like, they were looking forward.
The sad thing is... They probably didn't think that, but man, their life is just one big moment after moment of that. It's like them just going, oh, who can I be pissed off today about? Like, who can I? And then, Lord forbid, Justin Bieber makes a dumb joke, and they go, oh,
Dude, it's just a testament.
Yes.
It's just a testament to how easy life really is right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, yeah, things are not great, but it's way better than it's ever been.
That's annoying. I can't not believe people got that upset over that.
I can't. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I just hope for better in people, and it's not. I will say I don't normally watch movie trailers. Sorry to get back on movies. But
are you going to talk about Joaquin Phoenix?
I did watch that Joker.
I haven't watched it yet. I want to wait till I can hear it really good.
I got here before you guys, and I was just sitting there. I was like, it did feel like being naughty. I was like,
because you never watched trailers?
I never watched trailers, and I was like, no one's here.
Did you hear a door open somewhere? You're like, what the? Close the app real quick and look around.
It was going through my car, and I'm like sitting there watching the trailer, and I was like, Brady walked up, he'd be so mad. It was just funny. Like one of those things. But I was like, it's either going to be great or it's going to be bad. Joaquin Phoenix is one of my favorite actors.
Me too. I saw the poster for it yesterday, and I was like,
so freaking
good. I might go out of my way to go see this in theaters.
I think it's
the trailer look good. 4th.
Oh yeah, it looks great.
I can't wait. He's so awesome.
Yeah. He lost a lot of weight for this one. So yeah, I mean, he was in my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies of last year.
Gladiator.
You were never really here.
Her.
Yeah, that's one of them. But yeah, that was another thing that popped up on my feed that I was other than Justin Bieber. You got anything else? You guys got anything else?
Like, are you talking about wrapping this B up already?
No.
I have some stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Let her rip, Eric.
Okay. So, with the advent of the last show we put on and our first show we put on.
Which, by the way, April 25th at the Bearded Monk again.
Yeah.
We're going to have a show. We haven't announced who's going to be on it, honestly, because we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah. And so, I've been trying to think of ways that we can make it more community driven and make it more for the bands and the people, the community who enjoys going to live music in the area, and trying to find a way that we can create a culture of music that doesn't cost a band, that doesn't, you know, like a way that people
basically what runs. I'm going to say this and it might not be if certain people hear it, it's fun. There is a culture in this area. I never had to do this. I did this twice whenever we were coming up in St. Louis, the St. Louis area, where we had to sell tickets to be on a show.
Yeah.
There is there's a big culture of that in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. And we did it for the He Is Legend show. Legend. He is Legend show. And it was fine. It was stressful, like, because you want to... But I get it why some people do it. I would like to get away from that culture. Yeah. I would like to cultivate a music scene that sustains itself instead of having to. And that means everybody working together. That means bands promoting and putting out quality art. That means music lovers and fans of music and other bands going to other bands' shows.
Yeah, because that show we put on was one of my favorite shows of the past couple years.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I wish I wouldn't have been feeling sick, because like physically, I felt like I didn't look like I was having fun, but in my head, I was having a blast.
No, we had a lot of fun telling your mama jokes afterwards.
Yeah, dude, I shared the one that the bungee jump one you told me immediately the next day. That's one of my new favorite Yo Mama jokes I've ever heard.
It's pretty great.
Oh, do it to me. I want to hear it.
Mama, I stood tall, all that I can stand was the man.
It's okay to say. Just say it.
Hey, everyone listening, just in case you do get offended.
In case you lost your mom, she's dead.
Yeah, yeah. And I know I sound like I'm being a dick. I'm really not. If you really like have hard stuff, like I'll make dead dad jokes with Josh all day long because both of our dads are dead.
Yeah.
So no, this is not coming in a we're trying to hurt you position.
No, I am. I am trying to hurt you.
Oh yeah, you're trying to hurt. That's fine. She's Korean. Go for it.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to hurt anyone that has lost their mother because I'm wanting to rub it in their face that my mom's alive and your mom's dead.
This is not true. Good God.
I think it's silly that someone could hear me tell a yo mama joke.
Yeah.
And think that I am literally talking about their mom.
Well, that would be amazing because since I was about 8 years old, I've known that yo mama jokes are a fictitious mom that everyone's talking about because the sentences are hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
But I go, we were sitting around talking about yo mama jokes and how ridiculous they were. And I go, I think we all have like, you know, that what we think is the best yo mama joke. And actually, no one really had any of them, and
it's
go
because you went first, and yours was so strong.
And
I
go, I think mine's the clincher, so I don't think I should go first. But then no one really had one on deck, and it's weird that I would have a, like some point in the history of my life, someone told this joke, and I go, oh, that's the best one I've ever heard. That I was like, I should never go first, and I said it, and no one went afterwards. We just said stupid ones.
We just TJ Googled them, and we read some funny ones.
Your mom is so fat. She went skydiving. Sorry.
No, man. That's the punchline.
Is it skydiving or bungee jumping?
No, bungee jumping.
Okay.
Your mom is so fat, she went bungee jumping. She went straight to hell.
I love it. That is so freaking funny.
And
that's funny because the judo, you know, American culture thinks hell is at the center of the earth for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, it is hot down there.
What if you told your mama jokes, but like it was like some like issues. Like your mom is such a bad mom. You're gonna have to have therapy when you get older. Like just start putting like real things there. Like your mama made such bad financial decisions that you guys are probably gonna have to get on welfare here soon. Like you start actually just like there's
see, that's
nothing.
What it like. See, I think the whole point of comedy is typically it's so outrageous. It should be outside of the realm to where a reasonable person hears it and knows there's no way they're trying to hurt me right now with this statement. But like if you went to like your mom's so loose that you probably don't know who dad is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like. That's like you're actually
that was hilarious to me.
That
I don't
was a
know
good
why.
One.
That was
a good
so
one.
Good.
But like, the thing is like that's
especially
kinda,
if you go,
that's
oh,
kind of pointed.
True.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a South Park episode where Cartman thinks he's poor, but he's not. But he thinks he's poor because they're like he's like one of the least wealthy families in the area.
Right.
And he just walks around the school. My mom is so poor that she. And he starts telling jokes about himself. And he's like, at the end of all of them. And then eventually, like someone else moves to town who's poor, and he's excited. And then
because he's not the poor kid anymore.
Yeah, no, it's Kenny. And then Kenny dies, and he's like, oh, Kenny's the poorest person. And then Kenny gets crushed. He's like, my mom is so poor. That's how the episode ends.
Change in a
So go back to talking about the shows.
I think I'm really excited about the prospect of us creating an actual framework that's official about how that works, that we can actually start doing this in a way that is regular, benefits bands, benefits fans.
It's just a fun place to hang out, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanging out in person.
Yeah,
people,
yeah.
It's needed to be around other humans.
That might have been my favorite Denton show we've ever done.
I've only played two Denton
next
shows,
to that house so show yes. that TJ brought down the house when he DJ'd.
Yeah, yeah. So, see, that those are my two favorites, and they're the two most unofficial shows, but they're the ones that, like,
felt like you were just surrounded by it.
Have y'all seen that music video for, yeah, you guys have, for The Middle by Jimmy Eat World, the house party show?
I'm always trying to live that moment.
So,
dude, I'm trying to live the Stretch Armstrong music video for the record.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
I know what you're talking
the
about.
That's
the
show I want to play.
Everyone's there singing along.
They got like 500 like, people in a 75 cap room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that house show we played with Preston.
And 1979 by Smash Pumpkins.
Oh, that's such a good song.
I know.
Essentially, I want us to solidify that and us figure out a way that we create the culture and we invite the bands and the different bands of music to be a part of that culture. And it could be something that's like, you know, like Honey Gold DFW or like, you know, whatever it is. But it's just everyone just knows the name Honey Gold because
Honey
of
Gold Presents, man.
That we create that musical outlet for people to come. Bands don't have to pay to be a part of the show. They just come have a good time. And people who enjoy music,
I think they should
out.
Be free always.
If yeah,
we
I'm down for free
if
always.
If we can try to cultivate a community that comes out once a month to a show. The end goal would be great to do like a weekend. Like we do one in Denton, one in Dallas, one in Fort Worth, one in Austin.
Do you guys think it would be cool to encourage other artists of all types to come? So it's like, if you're a painter, freaking come.
Yeah.
Bring your paint.
You and I talked on the phone yesterday about like maybe doing even like having a stand-up.
Comedian host it.
Yeah,
Eric, I was so in love with that night on the drive home. I was like, would it be lame or awesome to have someone like MC the whole event?
Dude, that'd be fun.
It would
be
fun.
Dude, have a freaking, what's his name? Ryan come do that.
Ryan Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does great. He's also got another event. He does something very similar to what we're talking about. It's called his Blend event because he puts on shows, and it's just a bunch of different kinds of music all in one show. He asked me literally before I got here to see if Ravenhill wanted to play the next one.
Yes.
So when I think the end of this month or next month. I'll tell you later. But I think you guys would kill. Because his audience is very much, we just want to be entertained and we like music.
Yeah.
And you guys are on fire lately, dude. The last two shows y'all saw just inspired me.
Johnny, I'm going to get real cocky here for a second. We've been on fire for 9 years.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe something changed in me. I've seen you guys play before, and these last two times were just so exciting.
No.
Double drummer was amazing, and then seeing three guitarists where I could actually hear all three guitarists and actually like be in the zone.
There's a part
you
of
guys are
that.
One of the best three guitar used bands.
It's because I barely play guitar.
No, but you play everything like just right, and then the other two guys and y'all compliment each other. Like I was standing there at y'all's little merch booth at the show, and I was just like, "This sounds so great."
I appreciate all the kind words. I seems lately I've been getting a lot of encouragement. It's gonna be hard for me.
Y'all's front man was kind of weak, but the other part
that's what needs to be said because. Because shout out to Jesus Freak Hideout, they just reviewed after some much time, they've reviewed Midnight Gold like after 6 months of it being out. But
it was like when a friend comes up to you and tells you about a movie that's awesome that you've seen forever ago.
Yeah,
that's what that article. That's how that review read.
But thank you guys for reviewing it. I know that
I'm
you guys
glad
are
they
busy
liked
over
it.
There. They loved it. They gave it a 4 out of 5. Let me ask you. This breaks. We bring up not to sidestep. We'll come back to the Honey Gold Nights. But when it comes to 5-star ratings, do you want a 5-star rating?
I don't care.
Do you care about reviews?
Yeah, a little bit. Because I do criticism when it's constructive or I don't know. I want to hear people's thoughts. I try not to dive into like comments and stuff. Like when Lisa These used to release stuff, and then there'd be a bunch of comments on there. I'd read them sometimes.
You're not supposed to, and I probably shouldn't, but I read everyone.
I've been trying for the past several years to prep myself to not. But as far as like album reviews, I'll read them, because I want to know what they liked and what they didn't like. Because I want to know. Because I'm just by myself trying to make this stuff up that I think is cool, and I want to know what other people think.
Yeah.
How did you see it? What was your perception of it? You know,
I loved it, and I'm okay with four. If I can go four,
a lot of review people pride themselves in never giving out fives. They're like, I'll never give out fives,
and I'm okay with that because if I got a five, I think Soul got a 4.5. I think
Wolves got a 5 from IndieVision.
There you go,
I was like, wow, it happened.
Yeah, I think IndieVision gave us a 5 for one of our records.
They're not afraid to just be like, this was great. And I like, they don't have to. Eric, my God.
Yeah. It hurts.
You need a little. We need to get you a little mute button for your mic.
I'm going off mic, bro.
And you can press. Well,
it sounds like it's right here.
Yeah, I'm like.
I really feel like Coryell's gonna get sick when she's driving, listening to this podcast. Shout out to Coryell.
Thank you for all the photos and everything you do. You make shows a blast. Yeah.
You lighten the room when you walk in, and that's not sarcasm.
Yeah, Coryell and Chad are great at documenting everything. And
Coryell, your mama's so sweet. She's like a glazed donut. She was so super kind when we met her.
Your mama's so sweet, she ain't got tooth in her head.
What? Oh, because the sweet stuff had been bad for her teeth.
Like that. That's but funny.
Yeah, I get it.
I just made it up. I don't know. I got nothing.
We're just working on our tight 2.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's my tight 30.
I still want to go do that, guys.
Yeah,
I want to go do stand-up. I want to try it.
I was going to say, I was happy with the 4-star because
it read like a 5-star.
It read like a I was waiting for some criticism, but I think if I get it, if I was reviewing records, if there was nothing wrong, but nothing that made me go, holy crap, what is this? Then I guess 4 is like, you did your job, you met expectations. Actually, I think a 3 is that. 3 should probably be the average. Like you read, and 4 is a little better, and 5 you blew us out of the water with something new. Like this is. Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nirvana, or Color and Shape by Foo Fighters. What other Dave Grohl things can I mention?
Consolers of the Lonely.
There you go. I'm seeing that this weekend.
Dude, I'm so jealous. Will you snap me or take videos?
Yeah, I got Consolers of the Lonely on vinyl. I haven't opened here. The limited edition that I thought I would open with you here.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm going to watch.
I also brought you the Circus Survive Record Store Day exclusive thing. I told you I'd give you.
As far as reviews go, 5, I think 5s are great because they make you look good. I think 3, 4, and 2-star reviews are the most important because they tell you what's wrong.
Yeah.
And because, like,
and
I,
then
I
again, it's one person's opinion.
Because a 1-star review is usually just anger. It's frustration. It's not sober.
One thing I like about the way Jesus Freak Hideout does that, I don't know if other companies do this, but they have more, they can have other people on the staff review it and change the average. So that's what I like. I would
that's
love
really cool,
to hear.
Actually.
So Scott Freiberger, shout out to him. He reviewed our record and gave it a 4-star. But the guy that actually saw came to the Nashville show last week that we did. His name's Chase Tremaine. He actually hosts the Jesus Freak Hideout podcast. If he reviewed it and he thought it was a 3.5. Excuse me. That was a burp.
That was you?
Out. Yeah, that was a burp.
Dude, that was weird. It was like a.
It was ventriloquist.
Pantomime?
Yeah.
What is that? What is pantomime?
That is like mime.
Oh, yeah, right? That's a mime.
Yeah.
I didn't realize mime was short for pantomime.
Immediately, I started acting like I was in a box.
It's the universal.
You know the
clowns that don't talk? I want to see a Joker that's just a mime.
There you go. I'm like, he's killing a lot of innocent imaginary people. But
stop him.
If he gave it
you a 3.5.
A 3.5, it'd be a 3.7.
That's really cool.
And I think that's cool.
That's a really smart way to do it.
I think so. I bet you, I mean, and for the more predominant artists, they probably do multiple. They actually do. Like if Switchfoot or Michael Tate or somebody like that put up, you'd get like 5 people reviewing it, giving their thing, and that you'd get the average of that. So
if Kevin Max stared you in the eyes and sang a ballad from like 10 feet away,
I've met him.
At what point would you start to feel uncomfortable with how much you were enjoying it.
Like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
15 seconds. That guy is intense. He's a weirdo. Good, maybe a good weirdo. I don't know. Yeah, he is an artist for sure. And I think much like you would feel a little weird around Daniel Johnston.
Yeah. But I'd love it.
Yeah, I'd love every minute of it.
I grew up hanging around weird people, man. Do you know how many of my friends on my street growing up?
Weird people.
The amount of friends I had growing up that were on the spectrum that I didn't know until I was like 16 and then 20. And my mom was like, yeah, that kid was Asperger's. And I was like, really? I had no idea. I just thought they
I'm
were
sure that
I just was, thought they were neat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was technically
a thing.
Well,
that wasn't a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Josh just handed me the Record Store Day exclusive. Dude, this I wanted this so bad, Josh. I got to give you something. I'll go look for that Bill Cosby. I'll go look for that Bill Cosby vinyl.
Yeah, cuz it's only a matter of time till Anthony Green gets caught for something.
You know, I was listening to Joe Rogan today when I was driving. It was the one with Luis J. Gomez. And Luis had a great point. He goes, in the midst of all this Me Too movements, it's weird that you don't have more like 80s, 90s rock bands getting Me Too'd, you know?
Yeah.
And the conclusion they came to was in the rock and roll wild world, they were like, I think they were saying they just knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
People who got around, like imagine getting around freaking... Well, they were talking about David Lee Roth, like getting to hang out with David Lee Roth. You know what's coming.
Well, yeah, he was. that movie The Dirt, have you guys watched that?
I want to.
I watched it with Megan. And how should I say this? You know, this is an explicit podcast. I can say it on here. But I will warn you guys, we've gone this long without cursing. Congratulations.
I have specifically tried.
Yeah. Good job. I'm about to say something that is probably worse than any curse word because I'm going to tell you guys a story and Movie Brothers is doing and has already recorded. I just haven't released it, but by this time it will be out. We've done a review of The Dirt and I tell an edited version of this on that. I remember when the book The Dirt came out, I was at one of my top five favorite concerts of all time. I was at the Vagrant America tour that had Hey Mercedes open up, then Dashboard Confessional acoustic, Get Up Kids, Saves the Day, and then Alkaline Trio headlining. And it was at Mississippi Nights in St. Louis, Missouri. And the whole set, Alkaline Trio's whole set came out with him reading the first couple passages in the movie The Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I vaguely remember, keep in mind, I'm like 17 maybe at this time, and I'm with all my friends, maybe 18, but I vaguely remember him reading and them saying, sorry if I'm butchering this, but this is what my memory told me. It would be like, Tommy always kept this girl around named Hatchet Face. Her name was Hatchet Face because she didn't have a very good looking face, but man, he'd have sex with her all the time, all of us would. And then what we loved about it is that you'd get her going and she could squirt across the room.
God.
And then they started the set. This movie starts with showing the this isn't a spoiler because it's right at the beginning. You're introducing to their life and it's all party atmosphere, a whole bunch of people in their house. And it starts with Tommy Lee going down on this girl, and then it ends with her squirting across the
goodness.
And so that's the type of movie it is. Like it's raunchy.
Okay.
And so giving you,
To have a heads up because the times that Haley and I've gone into something not knowing, it's really the first little bit's a little bit rough, and you're like,
I'll tell you, it gets tamer as it goes, but it starts off real rough.
Mm.
So much that like, and I don't watch, whenever nudity comes on, I don't watch it. So Megan, I literally go, tell me when I can look, Megan. You know, and she just kind of describes, like, if there's any plot points. Not, she's like, oh,
four midgets, and they're really hitting this little girl.
Yeah, she doesn't go into like, no, now they tried this style. Now they, like, she's not getting descriptive in that, but like, I'm like, okay, what's going on, like, roughly? Learn to make the same mistakes. movie isn't that good anyway. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I.
How was Machine Gun Kelly's performance?
It's actually one of the better performances.
Good for him, man.
Hey, they have a singer who's like heavy set and awkward looking, right?
No. No, okay. He was. He at the time, he was God's gift to women.
Yeah, but I mean, like.
Now? Yeah. I mean, he got older.
Okay, yeah. I saw a clip, and they were like, hey, here's a preview of the dirt.
I don't know if he's necessarily. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't keep up with. I was never a Motley Crue fan.
Is there plus size male models? And why is nobody up in arms about that? And why does every underwear model at Walmart have just the biggest freaking junk in between his legs?
Because there's something in there.
There's a cup, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Because you don't want an actual.
Yeah, you can't. That would be indecent exposure as far as advertising.
They definitely would have that, and they would say, this is because we don't want the shape of a ween.
Because if you're wearing tighty whities, I mean, it's all
seeing,
right there.
You're
it's
seeing
right there.
The goods, you man. See the it goes thing. To the right or left, and you're seeing it lay down. It doesn't go straight up unless you're
tuck and swipe.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear a terrible tuck and swipe story? I can make it short.
Sure. As the world will end, you'll have your sweet revenge.
All right, so for those listening, a tuck and swipe is when a guy gets a boner and he doesn't want people to see it, so he flips it up in his pants and the waist belt area holds it up. Anywho, I was like six.
High school. I lived that.
Dude, when you hit puberty and you start getting those NRBs, which is short for no reason boners, you got to just learn to do it. It's funny because you didn't like talk to your friends and they didn't teach you. You just instinctively figure out what
to do.
It's
survival.
With it.
Yeah, the
survival
street, name schoolboy.
So anyways, I was 16 years old. My band Realm of Refuge was recording our first full length with Jeff Rockwell. We were so pumped, and we'd been in the studio
Who's
for like...
Who's Jeff Rockwell?
He's one of the biggest producers, engineers in DFW.
Okay.
He's the man. He's really,
I had
really,
a
really
band
cool.
called Rockwell.
Oh, that's cool. But I want you to meet him. You'd like him, and he'd like you, and he's freaking hilarious.
Maybe we'll make out.
You all might. But anyways...
do it.
We were leaving the studio, and we were young enough that Kevin's Dunlap's dad came to pick us up.
Uh-huh.
From the studio, because we were there for like 8 hours. And he picks us up, and we're driving home, and somehow the idea gets to we should all stop at a Guitar Center on the way back to Kevin's house.
Yeah.
And in the car, I'm just sitting in the back ride of a Tahoe, and it's bouncing, and all of a sudden the NRB shows up, and I was like, dang it, I hope this goes away by the time we get to
Are you wearing basketball shorts?
Yeah, I'm wearing basketball
that's
shorts.
That's
the worst, right?
Yeah, because if you got a strong one, it's pushing your basketball shorts down.
Oh, yeah.
And his drawstring's broken?
God. The good news is... No, dude, it was even worse. That's why, So it was 2005-06 when guys' shirts stopped, like, at the waistline, too.
Oh, no.
That was a tough time. But
you bring your arms up at all. You're exposed.
You had Captain Toad sticking up at the top of your
So I'm sitting in the car. We're getting closer to Guitar Center. I'm like, man, I really hope this thing goes away. We get into the parking lot, and I was like, all right, I'm going to have to, when I step out of the car, as soon as I step out, I'm going to flip it up and put this thing away, right? And we're in a Tahoe, okay? They're not super tall off the ground, but they're a little bit off the ground.
Right.
So we park, and I don't even look outside the car, and I open the door, and as I open it, there's a little sedan with a super old lady, and she's getting out of her car, and she looks at me as the whole thing just goes flip and pops up, and I put it away. She watched my discretion level went way down.
Yeah.
My points went way down. It was like negative 50 discretion. Yeah. It was bad, and I was so embarrassed, dude.
Did she
give
you like a thumbs up?
No, I didn't make eye contact with her, and luckily she didn't walk into Guitar Center, but I was like... As soon as we got inside, I was like, guys, I have to take
She's gonna, and now she had to wait for y'all to leave.
Yeah, now she had one. But she had a reason.
Yeah. She
had a lady boner.
Little edamame bean got all stiff.
Remember when I said I
Dude, I was watching this Asian stand-up the other day. It was
Why's it gotta be Asian?
Because
that's what it was.
Okay.
It was this woman. It was this female Asian. And she was hilarious.
Why's it gotta be female?
Well, because she was.
She also was.
All right, cool.
She probably had a miscarriage too. Go ahead.
God dang it.
But anyways, I got to give her, I don't even know her name, but it popped up online and I watched like a 5-minute little bit and she was hilarious, but she referenced the clitoris as a frozen edamame bean and I lost it, dude. It was such a random ass metaphor, man.
That's funny.
This episode took a stark left turn at the very end.
Yeah.
Dude, here, let's save it. Eric, finish up your Honey Gold Presents stuff.
Come to shows.
Yep, there it is. Hey, no, we would like to build a culture.
We want it to be a fun place to go hang out, man.
There's not. I haven't found a community that is. How do I say this nicely? I haven't found a culture in the music scene that is only trying to work together and not trying to make money or
build a
profit
brand
or something off of a. Off of people and bands and other things. I'm not saying that everyone that's doing that is evil or whatever.
No, but to be fair, they're doing it because it probably helps keep their level of interest sustained.
Yeah. So all that to say, for the time being, we would like to introduce a series of concerts that are free that will be in the DFW area and hopefully grow outside of that to do free shows, and that's starting in Denton for us. Right now, it's the last Thursday of every month. I mean, given that we booked last Thursday, last month and this month and the last
Thursday. We might consider changing that only because I found out today that Ryan's events that he wants you to do are the last Thursday of every month.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we do the first Thursday of every month or second Thursday.
Yeah, give it, stagger them out.
That's obviously we're open. To doing that. I would love to get on a weekend, but let's start on a Thursday, see if we can get a good crowd on a Thursday. Apparently in Denton, Thursdays are the start of the weekend. They call it Thirsty Thursdays, is what someone told me.
Okay, cool.
Wow, that's so innovative.
Yeah.
They're really pushing the boundaries. Typical Denton.
I like Denton.
No, I love Denton.
Yeah, that's. I always assumed you guys were from Denton.
Well, everyone in Least of These for a while but me was from Denton.
Okay, because I remember it being on your
It's on the
drum
hat
head.
I'm wearing right now, too. Denton, Texas.
I remember that was the design on your drum head, right?
Yeah, TJ got it. I don't remember what company made it.
On another news, just, hey, go check out Audio Feed, because probably by the time this thing gets out, they'll announce some more artists, including there are some Honey Gold artists on there. So you should definitely go check that out. It's a festival in... Central Illinois, and it's I love it. I go every year, and I help run a stage there, and I'll be doing a lot more than I thought I'd ever be doing at that festival this year. So
yeah,
I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about bringing all my friends. I'm trying to think of anything else we need to plug real quick. I know there's other things, but I just...
Words is going to be releasing some neat stuff over the next few weeks, so be ready. It's finally happening, gang.
Within the next month, we should have a new Words single, or at least cover art announced and all that stuff.
Yeah, all of that's going to happen this month.
And then I will probably have a Josh Clifton the Blackbird single out by then, too. So
the single will probably just be in the video form because it's going to be a video. Because I forgot the whole DistroKid do it ahead of time thing. So I'll get on that.
Still got time.
Cool. I think that's something that we're working at. Go go check out Palm Mute Records. They also partnered with our band City of Auburn, and we're gonna try to work with them and a couple other companies I'm talking to. We're all about building a community. We're trying to help good art surface, and we're excited about maybe putting more eyes and ears on the art we're backing. So
yeah, I'd love to see City of Auburn play a Thursday night.
We totally need to talk to them. Maybe I'll message them right now and see if they can do that. I know they probably they do play bigger shows, and are trying to limit their how much they play in the DFW area. But I mean, I don't want to say they try. Let me say that
they can just not promote it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what Lisa D's would do. If we felt like we were saturating the market, but we wanted to play a show, we just wouldn't tell anybody.
People not even to care. I'd like to get to a point where you don't know what bands are playing at the Honey Gold Presents. You're just showing up because you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, because people are there and you want
to
hang out.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be cool. I'd like to even get to a point where we do like a live podcast there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That'd be great. Like,
I want to have little caricature booth setups.
Yeah, I like it all.
Photo booth. Yeah.
Face painting.
Balloon animals.
Oh, tarot cards.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Johnny and I actually experienced that at a show we both went to once.
Same.
I thought it was a merch table, and I walked up to it, and I was like, what is all this? This is awesome. And she it was a tarot card reader.
I was already a foot and a half behind him. I was like, I don't know what those are.
Yeah, I missed it, and I was stuck. I didn't want to just blow her off, so I had to listen to her for like 10 minutes.
And then we
fine.
Watched the most oddly sensual...
fire dancer.
Fire
ever.
Dancer. That was weird.
Fire dancer.
She had like a bow staff with flames at both
ends. This was at that show you played.
Yeah. I did a guest vocal on this.
Yeah, and it was
at the Curtain Club.
It was different.
No, it was at Dada.
Oh, Dada.
It was funny when the girl was doing her fire spinning stuff. The security guard that was there, it was a fire marshal.
Yeah, the fire marshal there.
just to make sure the fire spinners everything was okay, and I went up to him and I was like, I wanted to make a conversation with him. I wanted to know what the fire guy thought, right? Yeah. And I was like, so what do you think about all this? Is this safe or whatever or what? He was like, yeah.
I remember you saying. I just want to let you know I'm really glad that you're here.
Yeah, I probably said something like that too.
I thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was funny though, because after
that, you and me, I'm real glad that you're here.
That's probably what I said. And then he tried to bond with me. He was like that. She's pretty hot, right? And I was just like, I'm not this guy.
This is the wrong guy.
Yeah, and I just slowly walked
immediately,
away.
Immediately talked to that guy over there.
He was just like, "Dang it, Steve, you're too forward.
Try to get that guy's number."
We talked about this.
Should have said, "Hey, the weather's good, right?
Yeah,
lots of wind. Low. Bad for the fire.
I'm new in town."
It's funniest skit.
Oh, maybe. All right, so thank you guys so much for all the love, and we'll be dropping some new mini episodes. I'm gonna start, I think, as I meet new people, I think I'm gonna do over the phone interviews and just drop mini episodes in between some of these episodes, if you guys are cool with that, about like certain topics in that are more focused towards the music industry or certain art that's coming out. On the last episode, you would have heard me talk to Brandon Hughes from Revel, and he's a management booking, and he does stuff with bands called Stay Outside and Michigander and Mike Maines and the Branches and Vespertine. And he's an old friend that does great stuff. And I'd like to promote his stuff. So go look up Revel, R-E-V-E-L, and you'll find him online. So you got anything else, boys?
No, I just think we should long live the brotherhood.
Long live the hive! Josh Clifton at honeygoldrecords.com if you got anything.
Yeah.
You want to complain about my miscarriage jokes.
Yeah, yeah, give us a 3-star rating. And then add 2 more to that.
Johnny at Honey Gold Records. I'm apparently not getting all the emails, so give it a shot.
You're listening to a Honey Gold Records production. For this podcast and others like it, go to www.honeygoldrecords.com.